Ladies and gentlemen, please listen for W. Norman Greenlee in his multinational broadcast from the world's greatest book concerning the greatest event future.
Thank you, Velma, and how do you do, my radio friends? From the indestructible and infallible Word of God in Proverbs 12 at verse 13, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Now pay attention, please, to verse 21. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Now who is this just person? Well, when we speak about the just in the Word of God, we're talking about the justified. Those people who have been justified in the sight of God relative to their natural condition, and the natural condition is a condition of sin. The Bible tells us that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So therefore, the human being has been born into a condition of sin, and death is here as a result of that. But on top of being born into this condition, he has volitionally sinned. He has sinned volitionally, willingly, and he has come short of the glory of God. Now, how may a person like this be justified in the sight of a righteous God? Everyone must know that God is the righteous one, and that man is not equal with God in any sense of the word. He can be made one of the family of God by the process of salvation, but he is not equal with God in his natural condition. Now, it should not be necessary to say that, but there are people who are teaching that. There are people who are saying that all men are the children of God, and that all men are equal with God in their natural condition. And when they talk this way and preach this way, they are going exactly opposite to what the Word of God teaches. So the Bible tells us very plainly that no evil shall happen to the just, to the justified. Now, who are these people? Well, the Bible talks about justification. The Bible teaches justification. And it shows us by this that someone greater than we are has done something for us which we could not do for ourselves. That is that God has provided salvation for those who could not provide it, for those who could not produce it. Man cannot produce salvation. Man cannot save himself eternally. Now, a man might be able to stay away from doing certain things which are recognized as being bad, being evil. He might be able to stay away from certain of those things. All of us know that. But the man in himself, the natural human being, has come short of the glory of God. He is not equal with God. He has come short of the glory of God. And the only way that he can be justified in his position of sinfulness is by the power of God. Now, what is the power of God? Well, the Bible tells us very plainly that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, what is the gospel? Well, many people have tried to tell us that something is the gospel, and that's not what the Bible says. The gospel is only one thing. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. It is the good news, the glad tidings of the great salvation. And the glad tidings, the good news, is that God so loved the world, mankind, that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever, anyone who would, believe upon him would not perish in his natural condition or from things he has said or done, would not perish, but have, possess right now, everlasting eternal life. Now that is the most wonderful thing when you stop to think about it, that the person who has been a sinner may be justified in the sight of a righteous God. not by himself, not by his condition, not by things which he has done or has not done, but by the power of God, by the power of the Creator, the sinner may be justified in his sight. That doesn't mean that God agreed with his sins or with his sinning. That doesn't mean that God agreed with his wrongdoing, no matter how great or small it was. That does not mean that God agrees with him at all. God knows that that human being has been born into a condition of sinfulness. God knows the sinner has been born into a condition whereby he is short of God's glory. He is short of the glory of deity. Therefore, God has done something about the situation, not just for the one person, but for all people. God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, paid the price of sin for all people for all time. Now, some people have taken that to mean that because God did that, everybody will be saved. They say, didn't God so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Well, he certainly did. That's what the Bible says, but that is not all that it says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that, you see, there's something connected with that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So therefore, we, as ordinary people on this ball, are looked to by the Lord concerning his Son. Now, if we have not looked to the Son on Calvary, then there is no use trying to look to God in heaven, because no man approaches God directly. The only way men can approach God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon Calvary's cross, who paid the price of sin, broke the bonds of death the third day, and offers that salvation and that resurrection life to anyone, anywhere, who will believe that truth. Now you see, in our helpless condition, in being born in a condition of sin, being born in a condition whereby we are short of the glory of God, we may now have the position of being justified in the sight of God. We now may have the position of being just ones. And the Lord says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. There shall no evil happen to the just. Now, when he says there shall no evil happen to the just, is he talking about some little thing now, or is he talking about the great future thing which we know as the judgment? It is axiomatic that there would be a judgment by a righteous God. It is axiomatic that there would be a judgment at some time in some place by someone who had the power. And that one is the Godhead. It's the power of deity which will conduct the judgment. Now, the just are going to experience no evil whatsoever. They are not going to have any trouble at the time of judgment. So, therefore, the just person has a very excellent position in the sight of God. And the Lord says in verse 21 of this particular chapter, there shall no evil happen to the just. So therefore, at the time of judgment, which most people would agree to, there is nothing going to happen to the just one. Why is that? Because he has already been judged as far as the matter of sin is concerned. The just one is a person who has been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was punished for his sins. Now, not many people talk about that anymore, but Jesus Christ, the virgin-born incarnate Son of God, paid the price of all of our sins upon the cross. He became a sinner for us, and paid the price of sin for us, and only as we look to him may we have salvation. May the Lord bless you in your study of his wonderful word.
Dr. W. Norman Greenway has just brought a message from his wonderful word, Box 2222, Greenville, South Carolina, United States of America.
Second Coming Reference Bible, 199:2.
Ladies and gentlemen, please listen for W. Norman Greenlee in his multinational broadcast from the world's greatest book concerning the greatest event future.
Thank you, Velma, and how do you do, my radio friends? From the indestructible and infallible Word of God, in Proverbs 12:26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Now here is a very, very great contrast, and many people do not like this kind of thing at all, because they take the attitude that all of us are the same, all of us are just as good as all the rest of us, and all of us are just as bad as all the rest of us, and therefore, they say, there is no difference between anyone. Well, now that might sound all right for a while, because all of us agree that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us agree that in all parts of the world, amongst all kinds of people, there are things which are wrong. But we must also agree that in all parts of the world, in all kinds of people, there are things that are right. So when you get to this great scramble, which is known as the human race, you have many, many problems. Now, when the Bible speaks of a certain thing and makes a very direct statement, there is no argument against that at all, because it is the Word of God. And because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, there cannot be any mistake in any Scripture. So when it says the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them, there is a very great truth here. Now this righteous person, who is more excellent than the other person, how did he get to this position of righteousness? How did he become more excellent than his neighbor? How did he become a better person in the sight of a righteous God than that other fellow? Well, now you see, there will have to be some truth behind the statement. And in the Bible, when there is a statement given, there is always a corresponding truth relative to it. Now, concerning the righteous, who is the righteous person? If all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, who is the righteous person here? Who is more excellent than his neighbor? Well, if he was born in a condition of sinfulness, and if the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, and then it tells us that there is a righteous person who is more excellent than his neighbor, is the Bible giving us a wrong impression? Is this a mistake in the Bible? No, it is not, because there has come a change in the person. Even though all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is the possibility of a change in that condition. And that person who is known as a sinner may become righteous. Where he was a sinful one, he can become a righteous one. Now, he does not become this by any activity of his own. He does not become a righteous person by his own good works or his own good things, thought, said, or done. Not at all. He must have this great fact performed for him by someone who is greater than he. Now, who is that? That must be outside the human family and therefore into the realm of deity. It must be the work of God, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit. It must be the work of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one and the one in three, that great mystery of the Godhead. So therefore, the sinner, the ordinary person, the ordinary human being, wherever he is in this world, may become a righteous human being in the sight of the Almighty. Now, there must be a very miraculous way of having that kind of accomplishment in life. And that way is miraculous. It is the miracle of the cross of Calvary. the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin-born incarnate Son of the living God, came into this world for one purpose, and that purpose was to pay the price of all sin for all time for all people. Now, he did that. He paid the price of all sin for all time for everybody. But the people in that great multitude known as everybody must become individually connected with the cross of Calvary. I, as an individual, must make my personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I must come out of the crowd, away from the multitude, as an individual, and have a singular dedication, a singular faith in the Son of God who died for me upon the cross. Now, this is the gospel, that Christ, the Christ, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And when any man anywhere, no matter what he has done, puts his faith in that Christ of Calvary's cross, who broke the bonds of death and rose again the third day, when any man, no matter how great a sinner, comes to him, that man becomes a righteous one in the sight of God. So you see, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, because his neighbor here is one who has made the very opposite decision. He has said, no, I don't need Jesus Christ. No, I don't need the love of God. No, I don't need to believe the Bible. No, I don't need everlasting life. I'm all right the way I am. I do the best I can. I help the poor. I give to the Red Cross. I give to the YMCA. I take part in community projects. I do all of these things that a good citizen would do. And why should I need to be converted, as you call it? Why should I need to be regenerated? Why should I need to be born again, as I have heard? Well, the reason this neighbor needs to be born again, and the reason this neighbor needs to be converted, is because, having been born in a condition of sin, he is still in this condition of sin. And his condition is pride. He is saying, I do not need Jesus Christ. I do not need what he did for people on the cross. I don't need that. I am all right the way I am. So he is so proud of being what he thinks he is that actually he has taken the position of Satan. Now, Satan wanted to be equal with Jesus Christ. Satan wanted to be equal with God. But there was no possibility of this, and he had to be cast out of the heavenly realm altogether. So that when any human being says, I don't need Jesus Christ, I don't need the gospel, I don't need this salvation you talk about, I am all right the way I am just as good as anybody, this person is actually taking the position which Satan took before he was cast out of the heavenly realm. He was saying, I will be equal with the Most High. He wanted to be equal with deity. And as that was an impossibility, deity threw him out of the heavenly realm. Now, this is taught all the way through the Bible. You find it in the Old Testament. You find it in the New Testament. And therefore, Satan is going to be confined to the pits of blackness, to the pits of darkness forever and ever. Well, now, somebody might say, well, I'm not sad about that. If he is so bad and he is so wicked, why, he ought to be confined in a place like that. Yes, that's all right for you to say that he should, but you are going to be with him unless you are one of the righteous belonging to Jesus Christ. Unless you by faith have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are actually a child of Satan. Or you are actually in the family of Satan, and therefore you are going to experience the destiny of the devil, the destiny of Satan. You are going to be with him forever, in the pits of darkness forever, a place which is described by the English word hell. So therefore the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, no matter what person it is, no matter what the nationality, no matter what his origin, this person, if he hears the gospel and refuses Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior and dies in that condition of refusal, refusal shall be sent into eternal darkness, into eternal hell, with the devil and his angels. Think upon these things, and may the Lord bless you in your study of his wonderful word.
Dr. W. Norman Greenway has just brought a message from his wonderful word. Box 2222, Greenville, South Carolina, United States of America.